want us to turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 23. I woke up early one morning and this verse was going over in my mind. We actually, I believe, either used this verse as a theme for Sidewalk Sunday School one day, or it was Camp Dove, it was one or the other. I believe it was Sidewalk Sunday School. And in my mind, as I awoke from my sleep, I could hear Sister Maggard saying this verse. All right, and so it's been over in my heart for the past several days, and I really just want to give some attention to it tonight. Also, when Brother Maggard, I was asking him before service who was taking up the offering, and he said he was. I said, well, we're just going to have Sister Olivia play. We don't have a special singer. And he said, well, I can do that too. Well, when Sister Rebecca came up to lead choir, then Brother Maggard came back. I was getting a little nervous, church. So anyway, appreciate that tonight. Let's stand if we can. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23. We want to say so glad to have the Ray family with us again. And Dave is here tonight, a friend of Sister Jennifer's, and we appreciate them being here with us tonight. And just wanted to let them know that. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why don't we all read this verse together tonight in unison if we can. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Hallelujah. That's powerful. If you have found the truth tonight, whatever you do, do not sell it. It is valuable. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift up our hands tonight and ask the Lord to minister in the remaining of this service. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. Hallelujah. Oh, I love your name and I bless your name. Father, I thank you that your word is alive today. I pray right now it would go forth and minister to every individual that's here. God, do a work of grace tonight like only you can. Anoint this service, Father. Minister around these altars. We will give you the praise and the honor and the glory that's due your name. The people said amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's he saying there? Man, the word of God knows how to get to the truth. If ever we have needed in our generation the truth, it's now. I was thinking about a friend of mine. We were at a reception, and man, his face was just red. He was nervous. I said, "What's going on with you?" He said, "Well, I was shooting my bow and arrow at a target, and I missed the target and happened to hit a little hill, and that arrow proceeded to go through the windshield of the church van." And he said, "I don't want to tell a certain board member," because his father said, "You have to tell the board. I'm not telling them for you. You have to." And he did not want to tell a certain board member who happened to want to sing a solo tonight that he had shot out the windshield. But, you know what? I was really glad it was him and not me. That's really mean, but I'm not, I was glad. But, I found something very, just a lesson I learned from this experience. He got courage, buckled his belt, and went and told the truth. And really, had he not told anyone, he'd never probably would have been suspected unless he never got his arrow out, and then, you know, that could have been a giveaway. But he didn't have to tell the truth. He didn't have to go to somebody and say, I did this. But because of his character, because of the metal of a man that he had, he went and told the truth. The truth is powerful. The truth is unbelievably important. Today, we've got so many politicians. We've got so much falsehood in the church. We have so much falsehood in our lives. The truth is important today as it's ever been important. We need the truth. I love that the writer of Proverbs here, and you know he's talking to his son. This is a father-son conversation if you read this chapter. And he's saying, son, if you find something important, which is the truth, buy it and don't sell it. Why? Why? Why is it so important? Because it is what will sustain us in a world of falsehood and lies. The truth. What truth are we talking about today? The Word of God. It's true. It's alive. We read here in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that that Word can seriously penetrate a heart that might be hard. A heart that is, the Bible describes itself as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth can. The Word of God is able to go into a place where not another man can go, or maybe a friend or family member can't even get into, but the truth can get in there. In the past week, there has been a nationwide uproar over this sad and terrible tragedy of that little Anthony girl that's been killed. And the uproar that a mother would supposedly get off in spite of being guilty, convicted of telling lies, but not convicted of the murder of her own daughter. Now, you can believe what you want to. That's not what we're here to talk about. But the uproar is the fact that they know she lied and seemingly got away with it. That's what people are angry about. They want justice. They want to feel like that this life that has been taken has somehow been recompensed by justice. The whole issue is somebody didn't tell the truth. That's the issue. Whether or not you feel like she was guilty or innocent is up to you to make a decision. But the truth is powerful. Oh, it's powerful. Here's some things, some life lessons I think we can learn tonight from this scripture of buying truth. The first thing, truth is good for salvation. In the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those things all come together with Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me. If we don't have the truth, who is Jesus Christ, the Bible said that he is not a man that he should lie, that he is God. He has never had falsehood upon his lips. He is the truth. We can believe Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is he saying here? He is making a declaration that there is no other God that has ever been in the lives of humankind. There is no other individual that has ever come before, who was living at the time or who will come later, that will ever bring about salvation. If you need salvation tonight, the forgiveness of your sins, the cleansing of your soul, the only way that that is able to be obtained tonight is to know Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you are searching for the truth tonight, what you are searching for is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to the question of the search for truth. Hallelujah. Truth is good for salvation. The only way to be saved in this world is Jesus Christ. You say, that sounds very harsh, and you're shutting folks out, and that's not inviting. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Listen, if there's multiple ways to be saved, then God the Father was a very cruel Father to send His Son to die, and you in my place, and to have another way of escape from our sins would make Him cruel. But the fact that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that the world might believe on Him and be saved is a fact that I hold true to my heart, that we can know salvation tonight, and it can be real, and it can be alive tonight in your life by Jesus Christ. He's the truth. What that means also is that if there is another religion out there, it is untruth if it is not Christ. And we are being overwhelmed with the theology and the idea that everyone and all things are the same, that every God is the same God, just different names, and that all religions will finally lead to an end result of heaven. Brother and sister, that is not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. And that is a singular, only possibility. That is the only way. I am the way. And if we tonight are followers of Jesus Christ, we must remember that Jesus is the only way of salvation. There's no other way. But I'm thankful that He gives us an opportunity to know Him. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus also said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Hallelujah. Has anybody experienced this freedom tonight? Hallelujah. I was once a slave to Satan, and he worked his will in me. But praise the Lamb now no longer, for the Son hath made me free. Hallelujah. It is the truth of the Word of God that you can know freedom tonight. You can know what salvation is because Jesus is alive and His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Secondly, this truth is good for our sanctification. We know how we are to live because this word is true. It's still good. Hallelujah. It still applies to our hearts. It still teaches us what we're supposed to talk like, what we're supposed to live like, how we're supposed to dress. It teaches us how to be different from the world, and it teaches us how to come and be acceptable to God in His sight. This word is alive, and it's good for our sanctification. That's just a big word for it's good for cleaning us up and making us acceptable to God. Listen, I'm glad the Holy Ghost doesn't just leave us out here on our own, but He cleans us. Oh, where would we be without the correction of the Lord? There are times where we probably feel like we're doing pretty good. And then, oh, Sister Norvell, when we kneel in prayer, the Holy Ghost puts His finger on something that we didn't even realize was maybe being a hindrance to us or somebody else. And all of a sudden, when we allow God to work in us, He starts cleaning us up, Sister Brock, and we find that we're closer to Him than we've ever been. Sanctification is not a thing that we should begrudge or that we should be angry at, but it is the way that God brings us closer to Him. Hallelujah. The book of John chapter 17, again, Jesus is saying in verse 14, and He's praying here for His disciples. Think about this. He is praying for His disciples, and He says, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou should keep them from evil. Hallelujah. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. This is the words of Christ. He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That he was praying for us tonight, church, when he said that. We were part of that prayer. God, sanctify him through your word. It is truth. Listen, beloved, if we are to be the church of Jesus Christ, if we are to reach out to a world around us, then we must emulate Christ and his word. There is no reason why the world would want to be a part of a religion that does not even resemble its own founder. But if we, as the church and the children of God, will humble ourselves and ask God for the truth of his word to tell us how we are supposed to live, we will find that our lives resemble Christ and they are abundantly lived. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to live abundantly, don't you? Hallelujah. And thirdly, it's good. The truth is good for our steps. The way we live, the path that we take in life. The Bible said that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There are times that the way that we are walking and the journey that we are on in our life can seem to be difficult, and we might not know where to go or where to turn or what to do. We don't know all the time the best decision to make. But we get in the Word, and we read the Word, and we ask God to reveal himself. And all at once, he gives direction and insight. He gives confirmation. He gives leading by his Spirit. And his Word is illuminated so that we can know what we are to do and where we're to go. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, the apostle Paul was writing to them, and he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" What is the problem here? You know the truth, is what Paul was saying. You know what has been delivered to you. What is hindering you from the walk that you have with Christ? What is the stopping point between you and your walk with God? It is a lack of obedience to the truth. Hallelujah. If we're going to make it to heaven, church, we are going to have to follow this book. Hallelujah. Listen, we believe in the Bible, and we believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Hallelujah. So these two are inseparable, and they cannot be followed one without following the other. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and not be obedient to his Word. It is impossible to be a follower. A disciple literally means one who follows after another. We cannot follow him in our life without being obedient to his Word. I believe tonight that there's a group of people here. You love his Word. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Word of God has been delivered to us who did not deserve it. And yet he saw fit to give us the ability to know him. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel sometimes, Brother Brad, like I'm those two disciples walking down the road after Jesus' crucifixion. And they didn't yet know that the Lord had risen. But as they walked with him, the Bible said that their hearts burned inside of them as he spake. Hallelujah. Guys, there are moments where we must be led by the Word of God. If we are going to lead our homes, we must be founded upon God's Word. If we are to be the husbands, the fathers, and the leaders, and the priests of our home, men, we must live according to this book. We must have our houses in order according to this book. If we are to be believers, we must allow the Word of God to lead us to Christ and be the truth that we need in this dark hour. Listen, I'm not going to act like I've got everything all together under the sun, but I know in the world I live in, I need a compass to lead me to Christ. Hallelujah. There's enough trash out there. There's enough voices out there. There's enough hindrances out there. I've got to have a roadmap, and I'm not going to be foolish enough to think that I can make it without it. We've got to hold to the Word of God in our life. Hallelujah. If we're on a spiritual journey with Christ, we're talking about this right now in Sidewalk Sunday School this year. There are things on this life's journey that can ensnare us. The Bible talks about in Hebrews about running that race that's set before us and how we must put off those weights of sin that so easily beset us. Listen, this word will free us from the lies of the enemy. What was it when Christ was encountering Satan in the wilderness? Satan is tempting Christ. Jesus, Brother David, could have said anything. He could have obliterated him in the moment. But what did he do in the midst of his temptation? He rebuked the enemy with the word. Hallelujah. Church, when we're in the midst of the battle, it's the word we need. When there's confrontation, it's the word we need. When there are problems at home and difficulties and struggles and stress, it is the word of God that we need. If it was what Christ used, it's what we need to use. When the enemy, and we talked about this morning, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against the enemy. What is that standard? It is the truth of the word of God, so that when the enemy comes in this life's journey, we can say, thus saith the word of God, and rebuke the enemy, and we know that he has to flee. If we're on this journey, this ought to be essential number one with Christ. Hallelujah. I want to close with this. This truth is not for sale. It's not able to be bartered over. We can't wash it down. We can't make it to where it's user-friendly. The truth is the truth, whether I like it or not. I am so concerned with my generation's mindset right now. I talked with a young man just a few days ago who was telling me all about the things that he was doing in his life. And the whole time he kept saying, well, my opinion of the scripture is this. My interpretation is this. Oh, church, this is not left up for you and I to decide if it's yea or nay. The Word of God is alive tonight, and what it says, that is our opinion, and nothing else. We must adhere to its Word. We must come close and embrace the Word of God. It is the truth that will shine the light in the darkness of this world. My opinions, they don't matter unless they are matched with this. My feelings are of no importance unless they are aligned with this book. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Music, would you come tonight? I'm not responsible for everything that goes on in the church world today. And although it does anger me, be honest with you, I get very frustrated with what is termed Christ today, what is performed under the banner of Christianity. But my brother Jason said this the other day, and I think it's true. The reason why I'm frustrated is not because of them, but because they associate with them with me. My name is connected to them because my name is connected to Christ. Church, you know who we are responsible for? Here, Union Road. There are churches all over this world who are changing. And as discouraging and disappointing as that may be, you know who God is going to hold us accountable to when we get to heaven? Right here. And if we are the true church of God, then it was true back then. It's true today, and it's going to be true tomorrow when our children come up in it. And it's going to be true when their children come up in it. If we are the church of God, and if it was good for my grandparents, and it was good for my parents, and it's been good for me, it'll be good tomorrow as well. And we've got to hold on to the truth. He said, son, buy the truth, but don't you ever, ever sell it, because it's valuable. And God has given us the ability to know the truth of his word. We've got to hold on to it. We cannot sell it. We will stand before an almighty God one day, and he will ask us what we have done with the things he has given us. And I am so thankful, because I believe that this church is going to be able to stand there and say, God, we did what you asked us to do. Oh, I can't wait. One of these days, we're going to walk through the gates of glory, and there's going to be men and women coming up and saying, because of Camp Dove, oh, I'm here tonight. Why? Because we speak the truth. There's going to be folks that are going to come up from your workplace, and you're not even going to know that they were a believer, but they're going to say, you live the truth. There were times when I was in college, I'm not saying this to brag about myself, but it's just so evident today, the truth and the untruth that is there. And I had folks come and asking me, hey, Brian, are you going to go drinking with us? I say, no, I'm a Christian. I don't do that. And they'd say, well, we are too. And come back on Monday and talk about waking up in places they didn't even know how they got there, and having relations with folks they didn't even know, and then others would be listening to this, and they'd come to me later and say, Brian, will you pray about this situation? Yeah, absolutely. They never asked those other folks. Why? Because they knew it wasn't true. Listen, young people, the reason that we teach that we are to live what we believe is because the world is watching us. How would Christ send his disciples out? And how would he tell them to change this world if they were not living according to what he said? That's why when we are in ministry, we do the things that are asked of us, because it's truth. And the world is watching. We're going to be held accountable. And I'm going to be held accountable for this word. I want it to be the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Let's stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I want to give opportunity tonight. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to get out of your pew right now. We use these steps as an altar and come and receive Christ. The Bible said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, God has given himself to you, the ability for you to know him. And so if you are not a believer tonight, I want to invite you to come. As the church prays, we want you to come. We'll pray with you. Is there anyone in the house tonight? Anyone at all? You say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be right. I want to be ready. I believe the Bible is true. I believe Jesus is true. Is there anyone tonight? You say, Pastor Brian, I want to be ready for heaven. Is there anyone? Anyone at all? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. All right, church, let's come. And as we come, let's come with thankful hearts that God has given us the truth. He's given us his word. Oh, let's come tonight and find a place to pray. If there's something in your life that you're struggling with, ask the Lord to reveal the truth of his word to you tonight. Hallelujah. This word is alive. This word is alive. Thank you for the truth, Lord.